Then after that, we're going to have South Lagoon coach BJ Young. Then we're going to have South Terrebonne coach Archie Adams. But Stan, it feels great to physically be here in person with you, man. For the first time since the pandemic, it's great to see you, man. How are you?
Good. As I was walking up to the press box, I thought about that. It's been quite some time with the pandemic. A lot of people, and as I see them in the community, are like, yeah, you and Casey, how's he doing and everything? And I'm like, I think he's doing okay. The problem is I don't see him near as much as I did in the past, obviously, with the pandemic. So, yeah, good to see you. Good to see Truck on this beautiful Saturday. Who would have thunk it after Wednesday? What happened Wednesday? I hope that you, in particular, and Truck, and everybody on the bayou and this bayou, because there's a lot of electricity still out, are doing well after the storm. Just a crazy year. It continues. But as we say every Saturday, at least we play in some football, at least things are sort of moving on.
Perfect segue, because we were going to spend the first segment talking about some of those struggles. We were hit with a hurricane on Wednesday, and it was a hurricane that was supposed to be a 75-mile-an-hour hurricane. Yeah, no, it ended up being a 100-plus-mile-an-hour hurricane. It was a hurricane that, it's going to hit the mouth of the river, won't be a big deal. No, it went pretty much from Cocodrie right up Bayou Lafourche, so we took a direct hit. There are a lot of folks that are suffering. I know that there are a lot of people without electricity. I checked this morning, 14,000 customers in Lafourche and Terrebonne still without electricity. Don't know how many people are hearing this right now, but if you are, we're thinking about everybody. We're praying for everybody, and we hope everybody's doing okay. And it's just crazy to think, man, this was such a unique storm. We were in Opelousas following it, 4 o'clock. Everybody's on Facebook Live. We're watching. Yeah, it doesn't look too bad. By about 4:15, it looked like Armageddon, and then by about 5:15, it was over.
That is exactly right, because at 4:30, I'm looking outside going, wow, because I did stay here in the Houma area. And then at 5:30, you're starting to see pictures of a sun in the west, and it's just a strange storm. I did come here yesterday, being South Terrebonne High School, as you guys are going to have the game a little bit later with South Lafourche and South Terrebonne. And it's homecoming, so I was bringing tents over here for these guys to use for homecoming. The campus was really in shambles. It surprised me. And in talking to some of the personnel here, they were mentioning that the old gym, and when I say the old gym, obviously there's a newer spectator gym and an older gym that they use for some of the younger freshmen events. It had part of the roof torn back. The baseball field had tent all over it. The yellow lining on the outfield wall was all blown into the infield. And kudos to the staff here, because as we sit in the press box now and look over the campus, everything looks really good. You can tell that a storm came through. Don't get me wrong, because there are a lot of oak tree branches and leaves as you're coming into the front of the campus. But nonetheless, a good job. Interestingly also, Casey, we're sitting right here on campus, and if I'm not mistaken, this is Highway 55 right out front of us. Just next to us, going down Bayou Little Caillou or Petit Caillou, there's no electricity, yet we have it here. And I'm sure that's the way for a lot of people in the Bayou region. Again, our thoughts and prayers are with you, because we sort of spoil for electricity, and we find out just how much when things like this happen.
I have been continually going into rooms and turning on light switches and, like, ain't nothing happening. So we're going to get it in the next couple of days, but we're definitely hoping and praying that everybody's okay. Now, we've had some interesting week 5 high school football results. Y'all, if we're a little bit frazzled, you're listening to a guy who has not had electricity since Thursday. I'm a little bit out of the loop, but we had some interesting results last night. We're going to lead off with this. We were talking about this a little bit off air before the show. Donaldsonville 50, St. James 28. St. James is one of the premier programs in the state of Louisiana. Donaldsonville was coming off of a couple of hard results. They lost to E.D. White. They go and clobber St. James. And I'm not surprised by the result, but St. James last year struggled to give up 50 points the entire season. They gave up 50 points last night to Donaldsonville.
You know, I'm sort of surprised by the result. And the score, obviously. I mean, they were up at 30-0 at one point in this game. I'm really surprised at the result. I didn't think Donaldsonville could go in and beat St. James, and they did it, and they did it quite handily, which means that District 9-3A is going to be up for grabs. You folks that are listening down in Bayou Lafourche, when you saw Lutcher a couple of weeks ago, they may be the team in that district that is on top when it's all said and done. Of course, they did lose to St. James, but that was a tough tough one. They have the opportunity to play both E.D. White, and they have the opportunity to play Donna Seville and get a little bit of revenge, so to speak, after that loss. And then you have E.D. White, man. They keep on rolling along. They had a good game against Patterson, an athletic Patterson team last night. They have it all in front of them. They control their own destiny. They have Lutcher. They have already beat Donna Seville, and they have St. James. So it looks like that district is going to come down to a three-team race now, and might I add maybe a four-team race, because if you throw Donna Seville in the mix, or are you throwing St. James out of the mix? I mean, how does it all work? That's going to be a really fun district to keep up with.
Interesting about EDY, they beat Patterson 55-23 last night. We had Kyle Lesang on last week. I didn't realize Kyle was in 14-day COVID quarantine. He has not coached the last 2 weeks. Makes their run even more impressive.
It does. And I didn't know that until you just said
it.
So that even adds to that. That was they did it well then. They did everything well. And last night, again, played well against Patterson. Just a district that on any Friday night, the only team in there that maybe is not quite ready to be competitive with the rest of the district is Berwick. Patterson has enough athletes to make a little bit of noise, but it's the Big Four: Lutcher, St. James, Donna Seville, and E.D. White. I think it's going to come back, down to the last week of play in that district to decide who's going to be your district champion.
Interesting score here. Terrebonne 49, H.L. Bourgeois 13. This was the game you were at. And I say interesting score because H.L. Bourgeois had played East St. John fairly close earlier in the season. Then Terrebonne had gone out to the river the weekend before and gotten demolished. But they look like they kind of found themselves last night.
I would have never thought that that game would have turned into the kind of game it was. It was totally dominated by Terrebonne High School. Field position was huge at the beginning. H.L. Bourgeois actually went for a fourth down, 29-second on 29-yard line at one point. And I was a little surprised they didn't get it. Terrebonne got the ball back. I think that's when they went up by 21. In the first quarter, they were up 29-0. The game was done at that point. And, again, although this one I would have thought Terrebonne, probably was going to win it, I thought it was going to be a tight game. It never was in that game last night. The chip on the shoulder that Terrebonne carried into that game after they lost to Destrehan must have been really huge.
I understand we have Coach Rod on the phone line. Coach Rod, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I was at the St. James game.
Yeah, what was it looking like?
From the first play, Donaldsonville set the tone. St. James had the ball first. They sacked the quarterback. They covered all the down linemen. They were coming with two high-five rushes, and they couldn't run it. They couldn't throw it. The quarterback was under pressure all night. And, St. James' interior guys last year are not there anymore. So they're kind of soft there. They got a good linebacker. Coach Savion made as many plays as he could make. But all of a sudden, Donaldsonville just caught fire. And it was like a snowball going downhill. It was they just blocked them, and they tackled them, and they made big plays. And they, St. James was on their heels all night. And I left at halftime to go to the Thibodaux High game, and it was 30-0. And St. James had about 10-yard minus rush. I mean,
wow.
That was the whole. But what Donaldsonville did on defense, they just came with two people off the edge that were fast and athletic, and St. James had no answer. I mean, even then when they were blocking them, they were close to the quarterback, and he was pulling the ball down.
So talk to us about that, Coach Robbins. You gave us a good segue. You said you were also at the Thibodaux-Brobridge game. That was a close competitive game. Thibodaux wins 27-22. How did that game look from the sideline?
Well, when I got there, it was 14-7 Brobridge, and it was just the beginning of the third quarter. And Thibodaux took it down and scored and tied it up. And then all of a sudden, Thibodaux quit trying to throw it, and they kept on running the inside zone with the quarterback keeping it out the back door, and Brobridge had no answer, and they just controlled the ball game. Now, Brobridge has got two transfers from Sterling Catholic, a quarterback and a receiver, and they hooked up for a couple of plays that made it closer than it was. But and then Brobridge got the onside kick with like 50 seconds left in the game, and they were going. They made a first down or two to get it. But Thibodaux sacked him and iced the game 27-22.
Isn't it amazing how some of these teams who sort of throw it all around, when they settle down and they decide to run it, they find out they have a pretty good run game and things happen? Or is that what, a case last night where maybe Thibodeau had just loosened up the defense because they threw it so much in the first half, and that was the difference?
I didn't see the first half. Like I said, when I got there, it was 14-7, and I saw him complete a few passes. I got two nephews that start wide receivers, and they were catching it at the beginning, but then all of a sudden, Chris says, okay, we got to run it, and they started blocking the front. So, and that was the tail of it, that they control the ball with the run game.
Now, Coach, we got a game here in about an hour and 50 minutes. Two evenly matched teams, two coaches you're very familiar with and communicate with quite often. What are you expecting to see from the Tarpons and the Gators this afternoon?
I'm waiting to see when we're going to get a whole South LaFouche football team and DJ being able to implement his offensive philosophy. The poor guy hasn't had a chance to have five practices in a row, much less two games back-to-back with a whole football team. When I told him last week, I said, DJ, you're not far. I just keep on grinding, and good things are going to start to happen for you. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but his, you know, his presence, I mean, his philosophy is good. And he doesn't have anybody that's going to be signing Division One or Division Two or anything. I mean, he does a great job of coaching. And on South Avon, hey, they're going to keep plugging away with that big quarterback. I would run so much power on people with that big quarterback and just put the ball in his hand. I don't know if they have enough people to protect, because South LaFouche's defense can be very aggressive with those linebackers making, you know, and everything. But it's gonna, who's gonna stop who in that ball game? Because they both have the ability to move it.
There's another game going on at 11 o'clock over in Matthews. That'll be Central LaFouche in Hornville. Central LaFouche struggling, but very young. What have you heard coming out of Matthews with Central LaFouche?
Well, that they switch quarterbacks. They put him at receiver. So they're grabbing at straws for somebody to take the reins. And evidently, they don't have that person to steady the ship. I mean, I imagine that they're so young on the offense and defensive line that they can't establish a run game or stop a run game. And that, when you can't do either one of those, it just makes everything so much for a long season.
QC, 3 minutes till break.
Yeah, very good. Well, look, Coach Rob, we thank you so much for the time. And very quickly before we let you go, LSU or Auburn today, who you got?
I'm going with LSU. I'm just hoping and praying that we can set an edge with the five technique and not let people just run a sweep for 60 yards. I'm waiting for one of those number 18s to show up that they're supposed to. That number 18 got to be revisited for LSU, because when that first long touchdown, 60 yards last year by that running back, is he a sprinter on the Olympic team? LSU was chasing him with five guys 5 yards behind him. Is that LSU football? Chasing a running back that's a no-name? I mean, that's to me the whole nut in the shell. I mean, we're going to move the ball, and we're going to put points, and we're going to change the field position on offense. But as soon as the other team gets it, they change field position, and you're hanging on. So let's hope we can set the edge with the five techniques, and, you know, the free safeties come up and make a tackle for 2 and 3 yard gains and make them grind at least.
Well, Coach, thanks so much. As always, great job, and hope you have a great Saturday, man.
We will. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That is Coach Rod doing a great job as always. We're going to talk about that LSU game later. I thought his analysis there was pretty spot on.
Yeah, I thought so too. And he's right. They don't set the edge. He's right that LSU should not be chasing guys out there. But I'm going to tell you what, they have been, and it got better against South Carolina. I just hope it continues to get better.
It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. When we get back, Assumption football coach Keith Menard. Keith had a little extra time to review his film. They played on Thursday against Morgan City. We'll be right back.
Avenue
Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma is so much more than shipping, especially during this holiday season. They offer a wide range of products and services to assist small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banner shredding, faxing, and more. They're located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Need to see a doctor but don't want to leave the comforts of your home? Terrebonne General Medical Center telehealth is your answer. Our clinics provide same-day virtual appointments. Our highly trained physicians and nurse practitioners are committed to using leading-edge technology to better serve patients navigating the new normal. 70% of patients using virtual appointments for the first time comment on how easy it is to set up. All you need is a smartphone, tablet, or home computer. Visit tgmc.com/mychart to learn more.
And welcome back to the Sports Corner, brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports. Shoot on the phone lines, we have Assumption football coach Keith Menard. Coach Menard, good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good, man. Your team played on Thursday, got a win early in the week, beat Morgan City. How did your group look in that ball game?
Well, you know, I thought, all three phases of my game, played really well. We thought we could, our punt block team, had a chance to make some things happen, and we ended up blocking three punts and two return for touchdowns. So when you get into special team stuff, it definitely helps you.
Obviously, a big game for you coming off of the South Terrebonne game to get two in a row in district and starting to get things together. As far as you feeling comfortable with the team, do you see progression every week? Are you happy with the progression you guys are making?
Yeah, I thought last week, we just told them, said, hey, guys, everybody understands Morgan City's been down. I said, but we can't worry about Morgan City. We got to worry about us and us getting better. And so, man, I thought our guys really focused last week and really got better. We got, three tough games coming up. So that's all I've been preaching, and that, we got to work on us getting better every week. And if our goal, if one of our goals is to win the district championship, we got to win out. So, it's imperative that, that we continue to improve.
Coach, you got a little bit of extra time to prepare for your next opponent. What type of advantages does that give you to, have a little extra time to get rocking and rolling before next week?
Well, I mean, I think it's good. You guys, for the first time, like our players are off this weekend because we and our normal Saturdays they would be in. Well, Friday became our Saturday. So our players get a little extra rest, bumps and bruises heal up a little bit. Our coaching staff's going to be really happy. They're off tomorrow. So that's their first day off in a while. And so those kind of things help you. I also think, yesterday we were able to start breaking down Ellender and start, getting some thoughts about them together. I was able to go watch the game last night, see them in person. So all of those things are definitely help you, in preparation for this week.
It looked like the Hester kid last night against Vanderbilt at any moment is a kind of breakaway threat. Your thoughts on Ellender after watching that game last night?
Well, I think you know, I think Coach Turner's done a great job there, you know, of getting them, getting them playing hard. And, man, I'm going to tell you, they got some dudes, you know. They got some guys can make some plays offensively, you know. The running back is really good. That's the kid, I think, going to Nichols. And I'm sure that's who you're talking about in Hester. But I like number two, the wide out. I like, you know, I like the quarterback. You know, they spread the ball around offensively. You know, just watching the game last night, you know, I think defensively, you know, they move really well up front. They give your old lineman a lot of things to think about because they slant and blitz and do some things. They pose some challenges for us just because they're so athletic and so big and strong. So we just going to have to be on our A game, and especially defensively, you know, we're really going to have to play well. We're really going to have to contain the quarterback.
Coach, we've been saying from the beginning of the season that this was going to be a year unlike any other. And, you know, we've had to deal, obviously, with the pandemic, but we've also now had to deal with hurricanes and different things like that. I mean, it feels like we're rarely ever able to have a full 5-day school week. Just talk about we're now past the midway point. Talk about the challenges and what that's been like. And I'm sure as coaches, as Stan always likes to talk about, you learn things from situations like this and also find ways to get better as well.
Well, you know, Casey, I think the number one thing I've always said is players, it doesn't matter if you're in college, pro, high school, they like routine. You know what I'm saying? They like routine. They like to know that things are going to be this way and what to prepare for, and mentally every day of practice, what's going to happen. Well, shoot, it's been a dang fiasco here, you know, with these 2 days off, this day off. Oh, by the way, this Tuesday's election day, you're off. We had fall break, you know, off. You got this happening. Like, it's always something where we're not in a full 5-day week. Hurricane, fall break, election day, this and that. And so, like, there's no routine. And I think kids want routine. And so, you know, maybe I'll keep my fingers crossed that, you know, that after this coming week, you know, now we still practice in Tuesday, but it's still not a normal 5-day school week, that maybe we can get to that and, you know, and do that. I think as far as us as coaches, you know, we've had to be able to adjust and on practice schedules when you miss a day. So what's coming up? So how are you going to handle this practice day? How are you going to handle this practice day? And, you know, shoot, we played it on Wednesday for the first time in my career this year. So, you know, it's all about adjustments and adapting to what's given to you. And whether you make the right call or wrong call, you never know till after the game or till after the season and say, man, did we handle this real good, you know?
Listen, you guys were right on the west side of this storm on Wednesday, and we didn't hear a bleep out of you guys as far as playing that game on Thursday. You guys just rolled with it. Was there something internally that we didn't know that y'all were maybe thinking about moving it, or it was, you know, we really didn't get any damage. Morgan City really didn't get any damage. Let's move on.
Yeah, because we had power. We never lost power. And Chris texted me Thursday morning, said they were good. So there was really no discussions, you know, about moving it, you know. The thing about it, I moved our game to Thursday because of the officials and helping them. So I wasn't sure if Friday was even going to be an option, that we probably had to move it to Saturday. So I'm glad that we were able to keep it tonight, you know, Thursday. And roll forward, it was never something that it came up a little bit on Wednesday, depending upon the path of the storm. But, you know, when Chris Stroud and I talked Tuesday, actually, and we just kind of said, let's wait and see after Wednesday when the storm passes, and then it was all good to go.
How is the health of your team? You're 5 games in. You're getting ready for that stretch run. You got 3 difficult games coming in. Talk to through your injuries that you have.
Knock on wood, we've been pretty good. The key guys we're counting on are all healthy, and that's going to be imperative for us, like most teams, to stay healthy. And this 3-week stretch is tough for us because we're on the road for those 3 games. It's very seldom you see a team with 3 straight road games. We have them. and playing the opponents we have to play. You know, I think it's time, you know, we're going to have to really step up our game and be ready to go. And right now our guys are injury free and but still practicing hard and doing the things we're asking them to do. So, you know, just knocking on wood right now that, you know, hopefully we stay that way.
Biggest area of improvement on your team since the season has started this year, what would you say that would be?
O-line.
Really?
Offensive line, hands down. You know, we struggled with E.D. White in all phases up front. I thought the next week against Denham we got a little better. But I really thought the South T game was when we really kind of started finding our niche about, you know, being more physical, being better with our assignments. But while we got our assignments, let's be more physical than them and really turning into like more of a, and I don't know what word I could use, but a more of a nasty unit. Let's be nasty. Let's start blocking to the whistle. Let's start doing better. Let's start making guys. And I think our O-line has improved tremendously. And, hats off to our O-line coaches. And it's just been fun to watch them grow. And but definitely them, hands down.
Piggyback off of Stan's question, what's the unit that in the next month you want to see improve a little more to get you where you're trying to go?
Well, you know, I think there's a couple. You know, I think I think defensively we played really well, but I don't think we've reached our potential of how good we can be. And these next 3 weeks are going to give us some different different things. You know, Ellen does a spread. Vandy's more of a power kind of running team from what I saw last night. Haven't seen South yet, so I'm going to see them today. But, I think, defensively is we still got to take the next step. We got to start being that team that wants a shutout, that wants to hold teams down. And I'd like to see that. I also think, skill guys offensively, we just need to start clicking a little better, fine-tuning our route running, fine-tuning our concepts and mental stuff on what we're trying to teach, fine-tuning our reads from our quarterback. All those things, we're going to have to improve on for us to, you know, be as good as we want to be and meet our goals that we want to meet. So it's been, crazy. I think when you're off 2 days because of a hurricane, I think that hurts your passing game kind of timing and those kind of things. So hopefully we can, get better at that area.
Well, Coach, look, we thank you so much for the time. And, heck, we're here at South Terrebonne, too. We may see you a little bit later on.
Well, I figured y'all were, remotely today. I mean, y'all like college game day. You know, y'all are out there remotely at South T, and I figured that's where y'all were. But I'm planning on leaving here shortly, and trying to get to the game on time and all that stuff. But I figured y'all were gonna find a way to get on the air, and it's always a pleasure coming on with you guys.
Yes, sir. Be safe on the road, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
Thank you,
Coach Menard. Stan, only place in the world is here. They are warming up. Well, not quite warming up, but they're getting the field ready to warm up. And they're playing Swamp Pop. Only in Berg, Louisiana is that the music that's getting you revved up for a high school football
game.
That's
how they started off here. And I got to tell you, it actually brings back a lot of memories sitting up here in the press box looking down, because for the last few years I hadn't been around a whole lot. And a lot of fun. That artificial turf certainly makes high school football different. Last night we were showing highlights from games around the area on the Friday Night Sports Show, and we showed the highlights of Assumption, and it was a natural sod field, and it was like so different to see a natural sod field. Who would have thought that we would get to the point where that would be like odd, and these turf fields would be the norm? It's a beautiful day today, folks. I know we're at 25% capacity, but that's still a lot of people in these stadiums. Come out and support high school football, whether it be over in Matthews to support Central Lafourche or here to support the Tarpons or the Gators. Come out and support the kids.
You know what's crazy, Stan, is that, talk about the turf field. Imagine if this field were not in place and a storm was just a few days removed,
I agree with you.
It would be a sandy, muddy
mess. I agree 100%. You're right. We just get to the point where we take those fields for granted. That's a good thing.
No doubt about it. So let's catch a quick break. When we get back, DJ Young, one half of the coaches in today's matchup, will be on the line. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and 1600 AM KLEB.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fighting.
Ramsey's has 50 showcases full of designer diamond jewelry.
If you don't think 50 is a lot, just count to 50 out loud. 1, 2,
and
three,
every one of
four,
those showcases
five,
is
six,
overflowing.
Seven, eight,
no one
nine,
gives you more
10,
choices.
11, 12,
no one gives
13,
you better prices.
14, 15, 16, 17.
Okay, big brother, I think that's enough.
50 showcases full of diamonds.
And designer engagement ring prototypes that haven't even been manufactured yet.
Designers like Gabriel.
Martin Flyer.
Yurlon.
Bolden West.
Noam Carver.
And others.
What do you mean, and others?
I mean, we also have other designers.
You left out my favorite.
I think we've listed enough designers.
You left out Lori Ramsey. She creates the most beautiful designs in the world.
Every little sister should have a big brother like mine.
Other stores make empty claims and empty promises.
Ramsey's makes fantastic deals on fabulous diamond engagement rings.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. The DA's office is prosecution, but it's so much more. Lafourche deserves a DA that's experienced in the courtroom, a DA that is active in the community, and a DA that's available to advise local government bodies. Our office is proven to be exactly that, an office committed to serving and protecting the citizens of Lafourche. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
Saunders and Chabe, attorneys at law, have dedicated their practice to assisting serious accident victims with the highest quality and personal legal representation possible. You may have heard of Saunders and Chabe through word of mouth, but Saunders and Chabe specializes in serious motor vehicle accidents, offshore, river accidents, and injuries occurring on the job. They fight hard for their clients. Visit SaundersChabert.com or call Scotty Boy Chabe at 888-815-1974 for a free consultation. Saunders and Chabe, fighting hard for you all across Louisiana.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road, that's it. We've arrived here at the swamp, and we have their football coach, BJ Young, on the line. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. BJ, good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, man. We're about probably 500 feet away from you, getting ready to call this game between you guys and the Gators. Give us a little bit of a rundown. What are some of the things you're expecting to see from your team this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm expecting to see, we come out and start fast. You know, the last few weeks we fell behind early, against Vandy. We went up 3-0, but looking to really jump on them and go from there, you know, and stop playing from behind. So looking for that, looking for a fast start and a lot of energy.
I have never seen a start time for a game or even a day they were going to play the game be so out there. I mean, there's been a bunch of different times. You have been really, really good at having your kids not worry about all of this stuff you can't worry about and ready to play. Talk about the last couple of days, especially since you have a lot of kids, I'm sure, that don't have electricity and such. What the logistics have been like and how y'all handled that?
Yeah, you know, I talked to Coach Archie the other day, and that's kind of what he said, you know, Coach, we could write a book on this. And I started laughing, you know, he's right. We just try to keep it as normal as possible, and then to add another wrinkle into it, we out of electricity. So we pregame meal and getting dressed and loading the war wagon and all, you know, in the dark. But we blessed to get to play the game, and, it's another day for us to get out there and compete. So, we're excited.
Coach, you guys are, have not been in school since Wednesday. And I know you guys have been, you know, walking through and doing things on campus since then, but to be that far removed from the routine, are you guys going to be ready to fire out at 12 o'clock whenever that ball is put in play?
You know, I hope so, man. That's the plan. We got to get out there yesterday and do a little bit of a walkthrough, and it was good. You know, we do our little script with all the scenarios that you could face in a game, and then we split up and kind of touched on and reviewed some of the stuff that we had in for the week, and the guys responded well. So yeah, man, I hope we can go out there and not miss a beat. It's important for us to get a win today. We got to get back on these winning ways.
Injury report. Can you let us know who maybe won't be available in the game or who might be dinged up?
We keep getting big by this corona bug. We had a few kids on the team. They sat by a kid in class, so they're out. Braxton Petrie, the running back's out. Dylan Frazier on the receiver's out. And Ethan Abel, the corner's out, because they sat by a kid in class. So it's just unfortunate, man. You know, the sad part about it, I feel for the kids. You know, he already got a shortened season. And then now, you know, you're doing everything you need to do. And, you know, it just so having somebody in the class, you know, it's out of your control, man. And a kid like Braxton Petrie, who does everything right, who really is a joy to coach and a great teammate, you know, a kid like that who's a senior, he don't even get a chance to come out here and compete. So I feel for the kids, man.
PJ, you're a first-year coach. And right whenever you got to campus, the school lockdown, then you get back and the rare game now for you guys has been Friday at 7 o'clock. That's usually when every game is kicked off. I mean, it's just been a wild and crazy year. You played on Sunday. You played on Saturday. You've had games moved and whatever it may be. Man, if you could get through this one, you know, like you said earlier, you're going to be able to write a book on everything that could go wrong, will go wrong.
Oh, man, yeah, I miss the light. You know, and I know our kids do too. We talk about that day in the coaches off. You know, I miss playing on Friday nights. And then you get a Friday night last week, and you get an hour and a half rain delay, you know, which is a big rival now, you know, us and Vandy, and you know, you get an hour and a half rain delay. So, man, we can't catch a break. But, you know, the way we see it, like we said earlier, it's just we're fortunate to get out here and play because, you know, like we said, two, three months ago, we didn't know if we were going to even be able to strap it up and go at it. So, you know, any time we can play, Saturdays, Sundays this year, it don't matter. So that's kind of where we're at with it.
Listen, and I mean this as a compliment. I know it's going to sound a little strange. You're 1-3. There are a lot of teams in high school football that at 1-3, the kids may be down a little bit, but Sal LaFouche doesn't feel like they're 1-3. They feel like, to me, to the outside observer, it feels like you're a strong football team that a lot of people really don't want to play. Obviously, Lutcher's really good. Bell Chase was a really good football team. Vanderbilt Catholic has won 4 games to this point. So that being said, the state of mind of your kids, do they feel, hey, we're competitive, we're going to be in every game, and we have a chance to win every game?
Yeah, you know, I actually talked to Casey yesterday at the radio station. I had to go finish typing the call sheet and stuff. We didn't have any power. And that's what I told him. I said, look, now the team, the last three we've played, well, even Central LaFouche, Central LaFouche is a good team, but they had some bad breaks with coronavirus as well, you know. But every team we've played, you look, I know you know, we play Lutcher. They almost beat St. James. And then St. James are a defending state champion, and they got a big win last night. And then I think they won the game, you know, right after maybe us. So and that's a perennial power, Lutcher High School. And so then you go to Bell Chase, and, well, you know, we playing Bell Chase tough, I thought. You know, 21-13 with 8 minutes left, and we had a miscue on the special teams, and it kind of put us behind the 8-ball. But, you know, Bell Chase turns around and beats Franklinton, who, again, is a perennial powerhouse that everybody knows about, and they beat them 35-0. You know, we were right there in the game, and then, you know, we turn around and play Vandy, and Vandy got Dutchtown. They got – the Bill Catholic got 2 bad breaks with some interceptions to the house. If that don't happen, they right there in the game with Dutchtown, maybe beat them. You know, and Dutchtown, we all know that. That's pumped out some NFL talent, and, you know, as Coach Mastretta over there, that's a winning pedigree too. So, and we took them down to the wire, you know. So, yeah, man, I think our guys are positive. We're positive. And, look, it don't get no easier from here on out either. Now, the teams that we playing from here on out are a tough competition. But our guys are confident, and we're confident that we can compete, man. And, you know, you let it fall as they may.
Coach, you guys are going to be facing a big, athletic, strong quarterback today. How do you keep him inside the tackles, and how do you make sure that whenever he breaks the tackles, you get him on the ground?
Yeah, man, I think you just kind of hope that he's off. You know, maybe hope that he kind of gets in his own way because he's hard to defend. You know, he can move, he can throw it. He's going to be one of the better ones we play all year, you know, if not the best one. So he's going to get his, you know, for lack of a better way to put it. He'll get his. We just got to kind of try to, you know, weather the storm and kind of hope he misses on some. But like I say, man, we got a lot of great kids in that locker room that we have, and they play hard, and we know that they won't give up, and they're going to give it all they got, and you can go to war with that any day of the week.
Listen, just a little compliment as we're sitting up in the press box and we see your kids coming down on the field. What a nice little shout-out, I guess. I'm not quite sure what the term I should use is. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month as we finish up the month of October. Your kids are all having the pink undershirts there, and a good-looking group down there. That's a nice thing that y'all are doing, and I'm sure as much as football is a game, life is a game too, and you're trying to teach those life lessons too, right?
That's it, man. You know, it's something we did for them. We got together as coaches, and we thought it'd be a good gesture to do. We bought them all pink shirts from CPAS, and, you know, we're wearing them for the month of October. And then after today's the last game, so we're going to let them keep them. You know, a lot of people on campus were really excited about it. We got, you know, Coach Gallagher lost a relative to cancer real recently. You know, she taught at the school. So, you know, just something to show that we support it. You know, because like you say, man, it's more about the game sometimes. You know, it's about life as well.
Very quickly before we let you go, Hurricane passed right over to campus. Is the field house okay? Are all of your facilities, the stadium, everything made it out okay?
Yeah, look, the field house and the school made it out pretty well. The stadium got some damage. You know, a few windows blew out and some of the roof in the press box came out, and a few of the speakers fell. I know a little bit of the fence, probably about 15, 20 yards of the fence on the wayside at the top ripped off. But like I said, man, that's all fixable stuff. Main thing is all the coaches and all those players and a lot of the community is safe. So that's what matters.
Very good. Well, look, Coach, we thank you so much for the time, and good luck, man. Look forward to watching this ball game today.
All right, Casey. Thank y'all, man.
Yes, sir. That is B.J. Young with South Lafourche. I'm not going to lie. I didn't particularly like the press box down the bye much anyway. we certainly hope that they're able to repair it. But, you know, maybe if they decide, hey, it's beyond repair and we got to build a new one, I wouldn't be too disappointed.
Yeah, it wouldn't bother you too much. I will say this, and this is where I spend most of my career as a coach. This is a nice press box up
yes,
there. I didn't have the opportunity to come up a whole lot. But today I'm noticing from a media standpoint how nice it is and what a beautiful day today. What a great day. What a great lead-in to come out and watch us and then maybe go watch the LSU game. And listen, Casey, before we go to break, I got the most important news, man. My granddaughter, 4 years old, plays for the Pink Unicorns soccer. She had her first goal today. My wife.
Congratulations.
Nora scores her first goal. And then she puts exclamation point. Only problem was it was in the wrong goal. There you go.
It doesn't matter. Put the ball in the net, kid.
I agree. At 4 years old, if you're putting it in the net, be happy.
Ascension Episcopal 58, Homa Christian 0. We never got to finish our local scoreboard. Vanderbilt 31, Ellender 21, Thibodeau 27, Brobridge 22. Let's see. And then we also had Assumption roaring over Morgan City big in that matchup. CCA lost to Centerville last night big as well. Let's get to some state scores because we've got a little bit of time before our next break. It's LA Sports, LA Score Updates. That's the place to go to get all your state scores. Plaquemine 58, Bel Air 20, Parkview Baptist 52, Baker 12. Let's see what else we have here. Ameet 28, St. Helena Academy 16. Young Man for Lafayette Christian, I saw they got a win last night. I'm trying to find the score, but a Young Man for Lafayette Christian is announcing his commitment at noon today. He is down to two. He is down to LSU and Alabama.
Yeah, I understand that guy's special.
Make the right choice, kid. They got a win last night, I believe. Westgate 24, Lakeshore 9. See some other scores.
Vandal got blasted again.
Yeah, Vandal got rid of their coach midweek and lost to Northwood of Shreveport 42-23. Something is going on.
Really wrong at that school. I'm not sure what.
The team that may be the best team in the state of Louisiana, Cairn Crow, they beat Northside 55-6.
You know who I want to see? Acadiana against Cairn Crow. They don't play each other, but I'd love to see that game.
I think a lot of college coaches would love to see that game as well. It'd be a free scouting trip. The Lafayette Christian score, we promised you, they beat Notre Dame 42-21. Newman, how about this? Arch Manning had to work for it last night. 31-26 over Riverside. Newman gets the win.
I want to see Newman play Destrehan.
Interesting tidbit from that game. I was watching a short video, and as Newman took the field, the PA guy at Riverside said, "And we understand there's a very special dynamic quarterback playing in this game today." And then they paused, and everybody was kind of like applauding, thinking they were talking about Arch. And then the PA guy said, "And oh yeah, Newman has a pretty good quarterback too."
Very good.
So a little bit of humor there from the Riverside folks, and they competed with Newman very favorably. Neville beats Minden 41-7. Neville's always a powerhouse. Central Catholic of Morgan City was pushed last night 50-36 over Hanson Oriole. Catholic High beats McKinley 52-8. And one more, two more, and then we'll go to break. Zachary beats Denham Springs 44-14. And then those Acadiana Rams, they beat New Iberia 47-10. If you're beating New Iberia by 37 points, you're doing something very right.
Acadiana's got a program that is rolling. Real quickly, I did want to say, and we got this text from James Schilling, coach of golf over at Nichols. He saw Chavez Brown watch the FIBA for Terrebonne. Somebody needs to latch on to that kid, too. About 6'2", maybe 6'3", and he can go up and get it.
Amen. Let's catch a quick break when we get back. Archie Adams, the other half of the coaching duo here. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
At Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat and Homa, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Ram Power Days event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Hello. This is State Senator Gary Smith from District 19. I want to let you know that I am very concerned about the impact COVID-19 is having on each and every one of us. To stay cautious and practice social distancing, wash hands often, remember to not touch your face, and watch out for your older family members and neighbors. I have been working very hard along with our other elected officials and the governor, and we are taking this very seriously. Please listen for daily news. As everyone does their part, we will prevail. Thank you.
Medications can be scary sometimes, but necessary for our health and well-being. Lady of the Sea Community Pharmacy's staff are trained in finding you the lowest cost available on your medications. Stop by with your prescriptions or medicine bottles and let one of us review your options. Patients who take their medications as prescribed have better health outcomes. Stop by one of our pharmacies today, located in Rouse's Supermarket on Highway 3235 in La Rose, or at Lady of the Sea Medical Clinic in Cutoff. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
This is Brent Abadie, and I need your vote for district attorney. The Morvant gang, King Cam and Queen Christine, took over the district attorney's office in 2003. For the past 17 years, they have bullied and persecuted all but the elites, their friends, and the privileged wealthy. I promise to push for term limits to stop the endless injustice and abuses of power. I promise to serve only one term. My only job will be to give everyone fair and equal justice. It is time for a change. Paid for by Brent for DA.
Minutes away from kickoff here in Bird. We're about an hour away from starting our pregame show. But heck, the whole 2 hours has been almost an unofficial pregame show for the Tarpons and Gators. We go to the phone lines now. South Terrebonne football coach Archie Adams is on the line. Coach Adams, good morning, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just once again, trying to get a game in before the end of the week.
No doubt about it, man. Look, you guys, Stan and I were just talking about this. Hurricane, homecoming, like you guys got a lot of things getting in the way today. How are you going to keep the kids focused so that they're ready when 12 o'clock arrives?
That was a big challenge. You would think by now they'd be used to disruption, but it's something that you battle. And homecoming was supposed to be at the Patterson game weeks ago, but we lost that home game due to a storm. So it's just been a never-ending it's been crazy to put it bluntly. It's been crazy. So we're just trying our best to get things done and trying to get this game in. And like I said, we didn't need Todd LaFouche to have bulletin board material. They were not our homecoming, but it is what it is at the end of the day.
Listen, the logistics of this thing all week has certainly been crazy also with the storm coming in Wednesday. Tell us when you guys got electricity back, because obviously we have it here at the Swamp at South Terrebonne Memorial Stadium. When did the school get electricity back? And if you can, run everybody out there through the protocol you had to follow, because on Thursday, which was a beautiful day, you couldn't actually meet with your kids. Is that right?
Correct. Like everybody, we kind of woke up from it was going to be a tropical storm, and then suddenly it was 100 miles an hour, then 110. So that part of it was crazy by itself. And then you're right. We got two practices in. We were lucky because Tuesday was supposed to be a washout, and the weather held off. So we got two practices in, and then, of course, we obviously didn't meet Wednesday, and then Thursday we couldn't meet because school was closed. Friday they allowed Terrebonne and Ellender to play. So we were like, well, can we practice? And I was like, I can't believe I'm asking this, but we got permission to practice. And then we kind of did our walkthrough, kind of, you know, just, again, try to get the kids' minds back on football. I know some of them still don't have power. I got power, I think, 8:30 last night at my house. And South Terrebonne, I think, got power at 5:30 yesterday.
Coach, there was a little bit of drama regarding the time of this game. I know that you got the beauty of having a turf field is that you guys have a turf field. The sort of drawback is that you guys are cutting up that pie now in several different directions. Talk us through the start time and what it could have been and some of the, you know, in between there.
Well, you know, for factors that are not, you know, above my pay grade, we were told that we had to play at 3 o'clock after TPR, and you know, as coaches, our jaw dropped, and we couldn't figure that out. But we didn't have to do much. Once I think parents got wind of that, it sounded like phone calls were made, and things got turned around. So the 3 o'clock thing didn't last very long.
Very good.
Well, considering it is homecoming, that's one, and you don't want these kids getting out too late because it is Halloween day. That's a little tough to start at 3 o'clock, so I do understand that. And quite honestly, we're talking about high schools having to be self-sufficient financially, and if you want to make any kind of money, you don't start a game right in the middle of an LSU football game, which would have been the other part of this. So I am glad that you guys have this going now. So let's kind of switch gears and talk about on the field. Are you guys pretty healthy for this game today?
Well, defensively, we're without a couple of other guys that we had starting for us 2 weeks ago, and we were already kind of behind on that. I think we're up to five sophomores starting on defense, but Justin and Dave McCormick and Caleb and all, we're doing a good job of piecing things together and just trying to make it work out. And obviously, our offense is going to have to help us. Our offense is going to have to possess the ball and just keep, you know, eat up some clock and get some points, and I think we will be fine if that part of it happens.
Coach, you guys are – I'm going to ask you about your defense. You guys are facing a Tarpon offense that when they're rolling, they're liable to throw the ball to upwards of 8, 9, 10 receivers in a game. Everyone touches the ball for this offense. Talk about the challenges of defending an offense that you can't just key on one guy.
Yeah, you're right. Watching film, you're absolutely right, because, you know, you keep a pitch count, so to speak, of who gets the ball in that, and we noticed that it was multiple people. They're not afraid to throw it to anybody. So, you know, no matter who you're defending, you're not trying to take somebody out. You're just trying to play good defense, you know, and just try not to give up. Our defense is we just can't give up big plays. They got to earn every point they get. We can't just give home runs and sit back. They, you know, you almost want them to eat up clock too, and then you try to stay ahead. That's the focus.
I'm going to talk about an individual a little bit. You and I both had the opportunity to coach the dad of this young man, but you moved one of your safeties up to linebacker last week, that being Landon Oakway. I understand he had 17 tackles. I know he's only a sophomore, but it speaks to two things. One, your injuries on defense or your lack of depth on defense, and two, that the young man went up as a sophomore and got 17 tackles in the game against Assumption last week.
Yeah. It's there's some times on the field that it's eerie that I see his dad and certain things he did. As we both know, his dad was very good, and he was very good as a sophomore. Just like, so it's kind of a mirror image of what's going on.
And you know, it's fun to watch him. It's just, man, you wish you had two or three of them.
Very good, Coach. Your offense could do some things, man. You got a very powerful quarterback. You've got receivers that are coming into their own. Talk us through, you know, some of the ways that you think you may be able to attack that Tarpon defense today.
Again, we're mixing it up, different formations that, you know, run pass. We try to do all those things and keeping them off balance. That's what it's been working so far. And we got to get first downs. That's who was telling the kids, you know, you got to understand, you know, it's usually the other way around. You have a tough, you know, you have a tough defense. You keep the offense on the sideline, but it's the other way around. We got to give our kids a chance on defense by we got to win the time of possession. And South Lafourche has to punt four or five times. So that's our goal. If that happens, then we have a legitimate chance.
Very good. And, Coach, look, before we let you go, I have an odd favor to ask of you an hour before kickoff. Can you hustle us a roster up here, please?
a roster? Okay. I think Davis was – I can get a coach to do that. I'm pretty sure we had – because, of course, we have no internet.
Perfect. Thank you so much, brother.
I'll try to get it for you.
All right, man. Take care and good luck today, my man.
Thank you all.
Yes, sir. That is Archie Adams doing a great job, as always. I usually do that housekeeping before the game, but when you don't have electricity or phone service or internet, it's hard to do some of that legwork.
It's been a strange week. It's been a strange season. It's been a strange year. Everything about it has been strange. I do want to tack on to what I was mentioning about the young man, Landon Oquan. His grandfather is Alvin Oquan, who was the captain of the 1957 LSU football team, who lives right here in Berg. Sometimes we have a lot of really superstars that live right around us, and we don't even know it. Mr. Alvin, a terrific, terrific gentleman. Again, I had the opportunity to speak one time in my life to Billy Cannon, and he told me that Alvin Oquan was one of his favorite people in the world. So it's nice to see, and I'm sure Mr. Alvin's loving that his grandson is doing so well.
And if you remember last year, talking about this game, this was a game last year that came down to the last second. South Terrebonne was driving. Arsenal got tackled at the 5-yard line, didn't get out of bounds. They didn't get to clock it. So every time, every year, these two teams, no matter the sport, baseball, girls basketball, boys basketball, whatever it may be, they're similar builds. They're similar upbringings. They're shrimpers kids. and at the end of the day, it causes a, you know, they say styles make fights. The style of a South Terrebonne and South Lafourche game is always aesthetically pleasing to me.
The kids look the same. When you look down at the kids from South Lafourche, and we have that advantage right now as they're coming out for pregame, and you look down at the kids from South Terrebonne, they look the same. If they change jerseys, you never know. It's sort of all the same, and it always makes for a good football game, and I hope it does today. I do feel like South Terrebonne, and talking to those guys, they're a little thin this year, so we'll see how that plays out. And again, I know that South Lafourche is 1-3. It just doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
It feels better than that, folks. It feels better than that.
So let's catch a top-of-the-hour break when we get back. LSU's playing today. I was the only one to pick LSU last week. I'm going to rub a little bit of salt in that wound in the next segment. The Tigers got a big one today on the road. We'll talk about that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
When you need health-related answers quickly, you want the fastest, safest results possible. That's why Terrebonne General Medical Center is the only facility in the state to offer the new GE Revolution Frontier Gen 2 CT scanner. This breakthrough technology presents medical professionals with the clearest images on the market while keeping patients safe and comfortable. To learn more about how TGMC is on the leading edge of healthcare, please visit tgmc.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
You know him?
To be honest with you, Fitz, this letter will not change a lot for me.
You love her.
There's no simple solution how to move forward. You mentioned if you could go back in time.
Sarah Spain, Jason Fitz, Spain and Fitz.
We're back.
He's not going to feel it the same way. It's like a Harden or a Westbrook.
Today is a dark, dark day for the New York Knicks.
He's allowed to benefit from the hype of us promoting him to MVP level.
And they let him go for nothing.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Craving international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Casey and Stan together in the same room for the first time since March. It's been literally 7+ months. It's crazy. We've been stringing it together and making it happen, but it is good to see my good buddy Stan in person, and glad that everything's been okay with you guys. We were going to talk some LSU this segment. LSU surprised the heck out of me on last Saturday. I picked them to win the game, but I didn't expect the offense to just not miss a beat with T.J. Finley under center. They ran the ball dynamically, pounding South Carolina. Davis Price was running like his hair was on fire. Defensively, not LSU defense, but it wasn't 2012 Saints defense, like we had seen in weeks past. So they're getting better, maybe a little more simplified. And you're seeing a team now that maybe could realistically win 5 or 6 ball games. I think today's game will be a much truer test. But then you say that, South Carolina beat Auburn soundly. So, yeah, I don't know. I think today's going to be an interesting football game over in the plain.
Certainly, Auburn is a scary team to face. I'm so glad that that defensive line is not what it was last year. They lost a lot of guys off of that. I'm really happy that Bo Nix is their quarterback, you know, because that plays, I think, in LSU's favor. When you picked that game last week, I didn't doubt that you would win it. I didn't think it would be that just emphatic of a victory. I didn't think they'd go out and do that. Now, if you take away the first two offensive series of South Carolina, LSU's defense doesn't look that bad in that, because early on it was like, oh my goodness, this is going to be like a 52-51 ball game. Then they sort of settled in, and I can't say enough about T.J. Finley. On this show last week, I was talking about a guy who can throw the ball 100 yards or maybe throw it through a brick wall, and what do we care, because that's not what football's about. Well, he showed he has touch. He showed he has presence. He showed he has the it factor. And you mentioned something to me at the break, which I think is huge. I think LSU's game plan changed just a little bit because of him, meaning they ran the ball more.
Yeah.
And they should have done this for Miles Brennan.
I agree.
You're exactly right. It would have changed things for LSU, I think, from the get-go. Nonetheless, it was a great win. You know, it's funny how in 1 week we went from totally just in the doldrums to going, wait a minute, there's a chance of having a decent season this year. So let's hope it continues today at 2:30.
The first time LSU got down on the goal line, though, I'm not going to lie, I was quite upset, because on first and goal, they put a fullback in and jam it down South Carolina's third into the end zone. And I'm thinking to myself, you had 4 opportunities to do this against Missouri, and you didn't do it. LSU should be 3-1 right now. But you live and you learn. Hopefully that won't be a mistake they make in the future. One thing about T.J. Finley, the quarterbacks always say the two – easiest throws are short and deep. The intermediate throw is the most difficult throw to make on the field, because you got to put some touch on it and everything like that. Finley looked great in his intermediate throws. The second thing is, I think that this win, I'm not going to say that it was, you know, a big program-defining win or whatever it may be, but Coach Ogeron was hired to get LSU's offense back right. He had a plan and, you know, this magic binder and everything like that. He didn't recruit Miles Brennan, but he did recruit T.J. Finley. So the fact that he's showing now that, hey, with a true freshman, I can have a quarterback that looks like an SEC quarterback, that's a feather in the cap right there that, you know, hey, maybe this offense going forward is going to continually be pretty good.
Now, everything you said is true, but I do believe that there is no controversy. Miles Brennan
of course
will be your quarterback whenever he gets back healthy. It's just nice to know that you got guys back there that can play. And, again, it's a presence thing. You got some guys who just don't have it, and I keep using it. And, folks, if I could define what it was, I would. I just can't. But T.J. Finley looks like he has it. And, quite honestly, he only played a little bit in the game, but Max Johnson, I think, probably has it also. So I think the offense is in really, really good hands. My big concern is that perimeter run game by the opponent. And, again, in those first two series, South Carolina just sort of, there was nobody there.
LSU's linebackers are bad.
You got, and I hate to single out a kid, but I just noticed it more and more. The Clark kid is always chasing somebody. And the other part is that they can't catch people like they used to at one time. Again, they lost a lot, but we ought to be happy with what we saw last week. I think they can build on that this week against Auburn. You mentioned that there are some certainly winnable games, but when you consider how much better Arkansas has gotten, and by the time they're playing Texas A&M, Texas A&M might be playing to get into the Final Four because they're not going to have to play in the SEC championship game because Alabama probably will be doing
that.
Which will help them, right? So there are teams out there that you're kind of going, oh, my goodness, Tennessee is sort of that unknown right now. It's going to be interesting to see the way it all plays out, but you got to win today. That's bottom line.
So you said this, and I agree with you that Miles Brennan is the guy right now.
Okay, here we go.
But if TJ goes on the road today at Auburn and LSU wins decisively, he again has 75-80% completion.
You'll see Miles Brennan. But I think deep down inside, Coach Ogeron, those guys will be thinking, you know, if Brennan's hurt, and I'm certainly sure they don't wish him to be hurt. They're going to say he's going to have to come back at 100%, or they're not going to play him at all if Finley has the kind of game that you're talking about.
But the challenge of that is, on the flip side, is your next game is against Alabama, so you got to make sure that you're at your absolute peak level of output. And who knows? You know, Alabama's pass defense hasn't been very good, quite frankly, this year. Maybe you see a situation where they try both of them or whatever it may be. But that's when it gets dicey, though, because if Brennan starts the game and they go three and out and then Finley leads them to a field goal or whatever, that's when you start doing the seesaw thing.
I think that there are situations for young kids when they get their opportunity that are just better than other opportunities. T.J. Finley's opportunity was against South Carolina. How great was that? If T.J. Finley's opportunity would have been against Alabama, it might not be the same thing. But I also noticed this with Finley in that game. As the game got on, he got better.
Yeah.
He sort of fell into a groove. I sent you a text right at the beginning when he walked out on the field, before he took his first snap, when he walked out on the field, he walked next to his offensive lineman, and he sort of dwarfed some of them a little bit. And I wrote, if T.J. Finley doesn't play well, he's always got a spot at offensive tackle. He's really not that thick. I understand he lost a lot of weight to get to the point that he's at. But, again, what a great release. He throws the ball extremely hard, but more important than that, he seems to be accurate, and I hope he's accurate today. And even before I say that, I hope they run the ball today. I hope they have the opportunity to run the ball and they get the yardage yet, because if you can't do that, it doesn't matter who's playing quarterback for you.
Thing that impressed me the most about the young man, he throws an interception, and it's a bad interception. True freshmen usually clam up. The next drive, he went straight down the field and scored a touchdown. That showed me a lot about the character there, is that, hey, I could bounce back from some things going poorly. Because, look, in the SEC, you're facing NFL players every week. You're not going to go 30 for 30 with 400 yards every week like you would in the Big 12. Things are going to go wrong, and usually the team that wins the SEC is the team that responds the best from those things that do go wrong. That impressed the heck out of me whenever he led them right back down the field for a score after the interception.
It does, and not shifting gears, because I'm sticking with college football when I say this, and particularly the SEC. The rules and regulations of the SEC related to COVID, I have to tell you, I'm kind of glad that I'm an SEC guy, because what's happening in the Big Ten,
it's a mess.
I hate to call it overkill. I certainly don't want to see anybody you know, put their life in any sort of jeopardy. But to sit out 21 days, some of these guys are pretty much just not going to play their final year of football if they decide to go to the NFL or whatever it may be. So maybe a little bit overkill. But, yeah, I'm excited about LSU. It's good to be excited about it after those first couple of weeks when we were sort of scratching our heads.
With the Big Ten, I don't see a path to them finishing.
No, I don't
because
either.
If you're out 21 days and if your team has to shut down with 5% of the people out, I don't see how they're going to finish. They have no built-in bye weeks either.
They have the most staunch rules for the shortest season.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of crazy. And in thinking about that, there is no room for error, absolutely no room for error. And I don't know how you get through the season with what they're doing. I have a feeling you're not going to see Ohio State with a lot of problems because Coach D over there is going to put those guys in a bubble before it's all over with. But it's an interesting situation. Everybody talked about Lawrence, you know, this week being COVID positive. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So he'll sit out. It's almost like he's got an injury. He'll be okay. And I think that's the way it probably should be handled in this situation, not where we don't see the guy again, you know, and that's not a good thing.
So how does this work? You know, if Ohio State plays 6 or 7 games, do they make it to the playoff undefeated? Like, how does that work? Because we're not comparing apples to apples anymore.
No, it's eye candy. It's pure eye candy. Everything is going to be about what you see now. Whether a team plays 3 games or they play 13 games, I think in the 3 games, if you have enough eye candy, because I promise you, if Clemson goes out and wins 3 games, and since Brian just walked in, Tulane goes out and wins 13 games, Clemson's still going to get in,
yeah.
You know? So it's not going to be – I don't know what the word is anymore. I don't know if it's not going to be subjective. It's not going to be objective. It's just going to be eye candy, and that's the best way you can do it. There's still a lot of people screaming bloody murder that they're even going to name a national champion. So we'll see. And think about this. They came out with the date for the Bayou Classic. How weird is that going to be in April that you're playing the Bayou Classic
in
collegiate football in Shreveport? How weird is it going to be to go to a Nichols football game? It's going to feel kind of like a spring football game. And then part of me is thinking, let's hope it actually even happens at all. So lot of things to be answered going forward. Heck, look how many questions we had on this game this week, just to play this game, South Lafourche against South Terrebonne this week.
It's a mess, man. I hope that we could get it sorted. It is certainly a mess. Very quickly, I know we're going to do picks a little bit later. What are some things LSU has to do well to win today?
Stanley has to play well. I don't think he has to play great, but he has to play well. They have to stop the perimeter run. I'm not as concerned with the defensive secondary as I was. I'm still a little concerned because I think if they don't get a pass rush, that could be a problem in the run game. They have to run for over 100 yards in this game to have the opportunity to win, at least over 100 yards.
No doubt about that. And LSU-Auburn usually comes down to a kick or some kind of fluke play. I just got a feeling it's going to be a race to the finish. Let's catch a quick commercial break when we get back. The Saints are going to be in an interesting situation. I don't know if they have any wide receivers left. We're going to talk about that and more. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Fairmont General Medical and Community Sports Institute on ESPN 100.3 and 1600 AM KLEB.
Ramsey's has 50 showcases full of designer diamond jewelry.
If you don't think 50 is a lot, just count to 50 out loud. 1, 2,
and
three,
every one of
four,
those showcases
five,
is
six,
overflowing.
Seven, eight,
no one
nine,
gives you more
10,
choices.
11, 12,
no one gives
13,
you better prices.
14, 15, 16, 17.
Okay, big brother, I think that's enough.
50 showcases full of diamonds.
And designer engagement ring prototypes that haven't even been manufactured yet.
Designers like Gabriel.
Martin Flyer.
Yurlon.
Bolden West.
Noam Carver.
And others.
What do you mean, and others?
I mean, we also have other designers.
You left out my favorite.
I think we've listed enough designers.
You left out Lori Ramsey. She creates the most beautiful designs in the world.
Every little sister should have a big brother like mine.
Other stores make empty claims and empty promises.
Ramsey's makes fantastic deals on fabulous diamond engagement rings.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers, the largest diamond store in Louisiana, on Veterans between Bonneville and West End in Metairie. Finally, it's here. The supermarket that Canal Street's been waiting for. Right between Canal and South Broad, the Big Easy Fresh Market is the locally owned, family-oriented market, complete with a cafe, a bakery, a deli, and some of the freshest produce and meats in town. Crave an international food? No problem. The friendly staff will take care of your every need. Ready to start fresh? Make a note. The Big Easy Fresh Market, 2669 Canal Street. Like them on Facebook. Eat more fresh.
Archie Manning here for Thibodeau Regional. In the Manning household, we're pretty serious about sports. And just like the team at the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, we're also very serious about sports safety. As the region's leader in First Comprehensive Sports Medicine Program, they've been in the game longer with certified athletic trainers, fellowship-trained sports medicine physicians, and neuro-sports-trained experts. So play hard, play to win, but play it safe with the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional.
Brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. We're about 45 minutes away. Oh, scoreboard update. Thanks, Coach. Boston College leading the Trevor Lawrence-less Clemson Tigers 7-0 early in that ball game.
Wow.
Make them sweat.
You know what's going to be fun? You ought to throw that in the pick'em segment. No matter what the score is, even if Boston College is winning, say, 21-0 at that point, you need to throw it in there because that'll be interesting to see what happens.
So we're going to talk Saints in this segment, but let me ask you this. If Clemson loses without Lawrence, and then he comes back and they went out. Will the committee penalize them for Lawrence having COVID?
No, I can't. It'll be a Trevor Lawrence thing. They'll get him in there. I really believe that. I think we can name the teams that are going to be in right now. I think it's going to be your three blue bloods that we talk about all the time. And the fourth one's going to be the interesting one, and I hate to say this, Texas A&M actually has the road to get there because they're only lost to beat that. It would make me puke. But, you know, they have certainly a chance of beating LSU this year. They really don't have a schedule that is tough the rest of the way. So we'll see.
But, if you're listening, please beat Texas A&M. Get them out of the playoff. We're going to talk some Saints here. Willie, if you're by the mic, I know you love to talk some Saints with us. Feel free to power it on. The Saints are playing the Bears. Stan, have you checked out the weather forecast for Chicago tomorrow?
I don't think it's going to be Saints-like, to tell you the truth, and that really scares me. That is going to be and I had the fortune of going to Soldier Field one time, and it was in the summer, and it was cold. So I can't imagine what this is going to feel like tomorrow.
Temperature's not a big issue. Okay, it's in the 40s. Yeah, that's cold.
Oh, no, but I'm talking about the way the wind comes
35-mile-an-hour winds without your receivers, with a quarterback who sometimes doesn't like to throw the ball down the field. Boy, that's going to be a challenge. Now, fortunately for New Orleans, the Bears' offense stinks. So maybe we're looking at a game where you want to bet the under here, but this may be a defensive struggle.
Boy, you don't think even the Bears could sneak a couple of long ones by the Saints secondary, though?
That's a good point.
God, man, that's hard to watch. That's really hard to watch. And I have to believe something's going on with Michael Thomas that we don't know about. This is turning into something that's really strange. And for most of you people out there who are suffering or had suffered with COVID positivity, man, Emmanuel Sanders is running a high temperature. It's kind of affecting him pretty good. So I don't know how the Saints make it through this game. I really don't.
Willie, how worried are you? You're our resident Saints guy. How worried are you about the Bears tomorrow in Soldier Field? Willie?
I know if Willie...
Yeah, we got you, brother. Now we got you. What are your thoughts about the Bears tomorrow?
Not too much worry because they got Nick Foles at quarterback. So, and I don't think they have a strong enough receiving core, even though Lattimore don't play good against any receiver not named Mike Evans. But so I think the Saints will be fine tomorrow. Like you said, it'll be a defensive struggle. I think the score will be 17-3. 17-3. I don't think they score. 17-3.
So you thinking the Saints are going to hold the Bears to 3 points?
That's interesting to hear. Now, okay, so you talked about Michael Thomas a minute ago, and I agree. There may be something there. How big of an alarm will it be if he doesn't play the following game against Tampa? Huge matchup. Because to me, that's where you got to sound the alarm if he's not back there.
And maybe that's what it all is. Maybe they're just waiting for him to come back so that he's fully healthy for that game. it's just been a lot of, you know, he's healthy, he's going to be okay.
He's played one game.
Maybe he's 95%, maybe he's this, and we just don't know what's going on. I was so impressed with the Callaway kid. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I like the way he returned the ball on kickoffs and punt returns. Then he goes out and he has a great game, and of course he gets dinged up, so we won't be seeing him. I'll say this, and I'm going to go out on a limb when I say this, but if you're a fantasy football player, there's a young receiver for Chicago who's turning into a really good one from Tulane. I can't remember his first name. Last name's Moody, I think it is. And that's a pretty good guy out of the slot. And I think that he's going to have a big game against the Saints tomorrow. And, again, that weather might just play a huge factor in that game. And I think it probably is to Chicago's advantage if it is bad tomorrow.
We have all called for New Orleans at some point or another to run the ball more, protect your defense, do more of what LSU was doing last week. Tomorrow's a great opportunity to do that. On the road in the cold, in the wind. Is Sean going to be disciplined enough to shift his running to 60-40?
That is a great point. And two things. First, it forces you to do something that maybe you're better at, quite honestly. And second, it forces you, and this was my theme of the show last week, to focus. Just to make sure that everybody's doing their job, because you have no room for error. There's no margin for error in the game. So maybe that happens. They showed that they could do that against Detroit a little bit earlier in the year, and heck, they showed that they could do it last week also.
Sean was saying in his press conference during the week, he said, he was asked about the secondary. Are you concerned? Are they going to figure it out? And he said, I'm more on the concern side than I am on the figure it out side. So he's worried about those guys. And I'm curious to see, like, is this a situation that is it fixable? Like, is it something that they could, you know, 1 week just start playing better? Do they have bad personnel? Like, what? Is this something that all year long we're going to be dealing with, or is this a light switch that they can maybe turn on later in the year?
So the game within the game, who do you think will be the leading receiver for the Saints in tomorrow's game?
Alvin Kamara.
Who do you think the leading wide receiver / tight end will be? So let's leave the backs out of the equation.
Jared Cook.
So you don't even think it's a wide receiver?
No.
Wow. And I'm trying to think of who that guy is. We've come to learn that it's usually not Smith, Taquan Smith. I don't know who else it could be. You're right. A lot of guys coming off the practice squad. It's going to be a fun, interesting game. It actually adds a little drama to the game. And we act like the Saints are, like, having this awful season, and they've actually won 4 games, you know, so... we'll see.
Let me tell you something about the Saints. It really scares the heck out of me that they've not played Atlanta yet. Atlanta's getting better, and you've got to play them twice. They won Thursday against Carolina, looked pretty good doing it. Since firing their coach, they
should be
2-0.
Actually, 3-0.
Yes, you're right. They're 2-1, should be 3-0. I don't like the idea of playing those guys twice.
When Atlanta's winless, I don't want to play them. If they're starting to get things together, and if it weren't for Ty Gurley sort of falling into the end zone when he wasn't supposed to fall into the end zone, they would be 3-0 under Coach Morris. So that worries me also. They played a Chiefs down the line. They actually played a Vikings, who you would think would be an easy, not easy. There's no such thing as easy in NFL, but a very winnable game, but they just don't play the Vikings well. So every game is going to be a tough one for the Saints.
I was talking about this, talking about Atlanta. They are 2-6. They're probably out of it. But they're going to have a big hand in deciding all of this stuff. They play Tampa twice. They play New Orleans twice. And they also play the Chiefs in Week 16, who's going to be competing for home field advantage in the AFC. I don't know what the playoffs are going to look like. I don't know what any of this stuff is going to look like. But Atlanta's going to decide how a lot of it looks.
Not only that, after the loss to Detroit, where Gurley did fall into the end zone last week, what have you got to lose? Seems like Atlanta is going to be the most relaxed team in the NFL now. Let's just go out and play. And we know offensively they have tons of weapons on that team. I don't know how serious Ridley's hurt, and you may know more than me about that. Their defense is suspect, but yeah, Atlanta really scares me going forward. It's down the line, it's going to be interesting. And it's funny how we have sort of put Tampa Bay on that pedestal as being the COVID team, right? Because obviously the Lightning won in the NHL, And then you had the Rays in the playoffs, yeah. And they almost, I say, although the Dodgers certainly were the best team, win the World Series. The Asterisk needs to go to Los Angeles because they seem to be the team. And watch out for the Rams. They're yeah. playing Tua this week. They get a win this week. The Rams are going to be a team to look out for.
So, you know, let me ask you this. We asked you the same question last week. Are the Saints going to catch Tampa Bay?
Well, you know, as each day goes by, I'm not as optimistic.
They're starting to peak, man. They look good.
I'm really not as optimistic. The way they handled the Raiders last week, and although the Raiders are not world beaters, they're not a bad football team. I really didn't think at the beginning of the season I would be in on Tampa Bay. But, man.
Gronk is becoming Gronk again.
Gronk is becoming Gronk. I don't like the idea of the NFL now starting to have super teams. I don't know if Antonio Brown is going to be bad for that locker room. Or, you know, the guy you get on the field is probably going to be awesome. The guy you drag into the locker room might hurt them, so we'll see how that plays out. So I guess the short answer to your question is I am less optimistic about the Saints catching the bug.
Tomorrow, listen to this, we've got a game in the NFL. The NFL spreads are usually 6 or 7 point variance. Tomorrow we've got a game where there's a 21-point favorite. The Chiefs are a 21-point favorite over the Jets.
21
tomorrow. The Jets are so bad, and there's whispers, Stan, that Trevor Lawrence is talking about going back to Clemson to avoid being part of that franchise. To me, I think that's a mistake because then they'll just tank again and get the pick the next year. But man, the Jets are so bad.
That organization has some kind of serious problem. I don't know what it is. Obviously, it's not an easy thing to do, and once you reach the doldrums, it's hard to fight your way out. It used to be the Bengals, quite honestly, and the Bengals still are struggling, don't get me wrong, but the Bengals, if they were playing the Jets, they would probably be an 8 or 9 point favorite. Do you realize a 21-point favorite in the NFL is like a 60-point favorite in the old days of NCAA football?
Yeah.
That's really amazing. And you know what? There's a great chance that the Chiefs cover in that, too.
I don't see any way that the Jets do anything productive. So, you know, yeah, I think that there's a good chance of that. And you talked about the Bengals a minute ago. The Bengals are 1-5-1. Joe Burrow, in 7 games, has more than 2,000 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. The Bengals got to get some dudes, man, because they've got their quarterback. I was watching their game last week. He is tough as nails already. Usually you see rookies struggle and have moments, and yeah, he does make mistakes like any other player, but already the guy is going down the field and scoring and making things happen. If you look at their losses, they lost by 3 to the Chargers, they lost by 5 to the Browns, tied Philly, got blown out by Baltimore, lost close to the Colts, lost close to the Browns again. Every week they're there.
Who is the best rookie quarterback in NFL right now? And what scares me about that, it may very well be Joe Burrow. But when you have Herbert out there in Los Angeles, in that kind of market, and actually the Chargers, although not much more competitive, they are more competitive
sure.
than the Bengals, that makes a difference a little bit. So he has that advantage. So maybe Trevor Lawrence is not that far off from maybe going back to Clemson for another year. But then again, he may be in the same situation next year also.
That better be a very big insurance policy if he makes that decision to go back to school. Now, you know, the smart aleck in me would say, well, if you're facing Wake Forest and Duke and, you know, no one there is capable of hurting you anyway. But, yeah, that would be a big, big story. And I think that it'd be also a message to the Jets front office of, hey, we got to get right here very quickly.
Can you tell a competitive quarterback like Trevor Lawrence, if you Dabo Sweeney, hey, if you come back next year and you play quarterback, here's the deal. Anytime any guy is within a foot of you, you just fall down. You just fall down to make sure he doesn't get hurt or whatever. Dabo Sweeney would make that deal in a heartbeat. But if you have any competitiveness in you, you're not going to do that. I don't see him coming back, quite honestly. But, man, I get it. If you have to play for the Jets, the way the Jets organization is run right now, I think what's going to happen is New York is actually, before the NCAA championship game, before the combine, they're going to get a new coach in place that can entice Trevor Lawrence to go that way. So that would be the best scenario for the Jets. not necessarily the best scenario for Clemson. We'll see how it all plays out.
So let's go ahead and catch a quick commercial break. When we get back, we're going to abbreviate things here. We're going to go to our pick'em segment in the next segment, and then we're going to wrap up a little early so we can transition our equipment and everything, get ready for the ball game. It's 11:30. We'll wrap up around 11:50-ish or something like that. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Community Sports Institute. Half hour away from kickoff here in Burr. Going to get the one.
Tired of slow internet speeds or trying to watch everything on your phone? Vision Communications has a special 50-50 offer just for you. 50 megs at your home for only $50 a month. You will be connected for everything, streaming TV shows, surfing, and playing games. And Vision's 50 megs will keep everyone in the house happy at a great price. This offer is for your first 6 months of service and is for new internet customers only. As always, you will get the personal service you deserve from Vision. For offer details, visit us at viscom.net.
This is Christine Russell, Lafourche Parish District Attorney, asking for your vote in the upcoming election. I've been a prosecutor for nearly 18 years. In that time, I've worked alongside law enforcement to convict some of Lafourche's most dangerous offenders. But being tough on crime is only part of the equation. I have worked hard to develop and implement programs geared toward the prevention of crime, making our community safer for all of us. Paid for by the Christine Russell Campaign Fund.
In our current COVID-19 climate, it's time to think differently about employee health, and Terrebonne General Medical Center's workplace readiness team is here to help. With over 65 years of trusted leading-edge experience, we are here to provide the resources you need to keep your workforce healthy and prepared with COVID-19 testing, employee health risk screenings, cleaning protocols, a nurse hotline, and much more. A healthy workforce is a productive workforce. Schedule your workplace readiness assessment by calling 850-6214 or visit tgmc.com.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Well, we promise you some picks. It's the Sports Corner brought to you by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute. I don't see the Swami anywhere, so we may have to pick without him, and I don't have anything to ride on anyway. So this is going to be a freebie week. Pick as you wish. Boston College leading Clemson 14-7 midway through the first quarter. No Trevor Lawrence. Stan, what say you? I'm going to tell you this as a preface. Clemson's quarterback right now is 5-5 with a touchdown, so he looks pretty good.
Listen, if Travis Etienne is playing, I'm all Clemson. They're going to come back and win this. I got my fingers crossed when I say that, but I think that's not true because I really don't care if Clemson wins or not. But from the standpoint of picking with my head, Clemson will come back and win it.
Notre Dame, the number 4 team in the country, traveling to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's not very good. Notre Dame's a big favorite in that game.
Yeah, I miss seeing Georgia Tech running that triple option. You know, and
this is the Rudy game, by the way.
Is it the – oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You're right. That's pretty cool. Now, I think Notre Dame's actually starting to get things together. They might be that fourth team in the national championship hunt.
Indiana, the number 17 team in the country, fresh off of a victory, traveling to take on a Rutgers team that killed Michigan State last week. Indiana taking on Rutgers on the road.
I'm going to go Rutgers because they're playing at Rutgers, and it's a travel game for Indiana. Maybe they – a little bit too high after that win last week.
How about this one? This one to me is maybe the game of the week. Texas, unranked but explosive as heck, traveling to take on Oklahoma State, the number 6 team in the country. Maybe the Big 12's only chance to get into the playoff is Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's a 3.5-point favorite in the game.
I think Texas is going to win that game. I think Texas has got just enough. Tom Herman's not doing a good job of winning games, but they are a pretty good program. A little disappointed Tay Martin's not getting on the field very much at all for Oklahoma State.
The Ohio State University taking on Penn State
on the
road. Yeah. A lowercase T on B, Ohio State University.
Yes.
Taking on Penn State on the road. Penn State fresh off of a loss. Before we pick this game, Dan, have you ever seen a late game play closer than that Penn State play? I watched it a million times. Sometimes it looks like he's in, sometimes it looks like he's out. That was as close as it gets.
It's one of those deals, whatever was called on the field, you kind of have to stick with. But then after it was called, you find every reason that it wasn't. good for the two-point conversion. That was one heck of an effort by the kid from Indiana, but I'm still not sure that he got in.
Do they rebound today against against Ohio State at home?
No, Ohio State. And listen, I'm not an Ohio State or Clemson fan, but those two programs are just a little bit too good for their opponents this week.
Arkansas, the most improved team in the SEC this fall, traveling to College Station to take on Texas A&M, number 8 team in the country. Texas A&M is a 14-point favorite, a 2-touchdown favorite against the Hogs.
Oh, man, my heart wants the Hogs, but my brain says it's going to be Texas A&M.
You know what? I'm just realizing I haven't even picked any of these games. I'm throwing them to you, and I haven't even really picked any of them. I'm going Notre Dame. I'm going Indiana. I'm going
– You're going Indiana.
Yeah, I'm going Indiana. I'm going Oklahoma State. I'm going Ohio State. Okay, now to catch back up, I'm also going Texas A&M. Missouri and Florida. Missouri is traveling to the Swamp. Florida is finally out of COVID jail. They had been locked away for a while. 14-point favorite against the Missouri Tigers.
It may be sort of close, but I think Florida is going to win this game. Missouri is impressing me, though, I got to tell you. They are very much impressing me.
Gators are going to win this one big. I think that Missouri's trickeration offense is going to cause some problems initially. Florida's got too much weaponry on the outside. Oklahoma back in the top 25 somehow. They're a 16-point favorite against Texas Tech. Texas Tech's pretty bad.
Yeah, this is not a Texas Tech team that is even competing this year, so I'll go Oklahoma.
I'm going to go Oklahoma as well. In the American Conference, Navy, they started off so bad, but they're getting better. Now they're taking on SMU. SMU's a touchdown and a half favorite against Navy today.
I just think SMU's probably got too many athletes offensively. I think they're going to score enough points to win that game.
I agree. I'm going to go SMU as well. Let's see what else we have here before we transition to the NFL. Let's scroll through the SEC and see if there are any unranked matchups in the SEC. Oh, there are. Ole Miss and Vanderbilt. Ole Miss is a huge favorite. Ole Miss is going to hold serve, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, I think that, and I talked about this last week, or a couple weeks ago whenever I picked Ole Miss to lose against their last opponent. I don't think they're very good. I think we just have a tendency to think they're very good because they're so fun to watch. But with that having been said, they're better than Vanderbilt.
You know how you watch and you channel surfing? Now, and I hate Ole Miss. But now when I see Ole Miss playing, I stop to watch. And that's because of what you just said. It's kind of fun to watch.
You know what's fun about them is they have changed the entire culture of that program. I was looking on Twitter yesterday, and I'm expecting to see, you know, propaganda for their next game. No, it's a coach's softball game. Lane Kiffin hitting a home run, and he's doing a bat flip. And then he ends up getting thrown out at first base because the boundary line was the goalpost. The softball hits the goalpost, bounces back on the field, and he gets thrown out at first base because he was admiring his home run. They're having fun out there.
They're having fun.
So let's shift to the NFL now. They've got several big NFL matchups this weekend. Let's lead off with always a joy to watch this, the Steelers and the Ravens. The Steelers are 6-0. The Ravens are 5-1.
You picked the game of the week in NFL to start this one all along.
Ravens are a 4.5-point favorite.
I think the Steelers get their first loss of the season.
Oh, Steelers are my sleeper pick, and every week I keep picking them. I'm going to go Ravens in this one as well. I can't see them continuing this going. Oh, my Dallas Cowboys are a train wreck. Without Andy Dalton, without Dak Prescott taking on the Eagles in a game that if they win, they're going to be in first place. And the Cowboys somehow, some way beat the Eagles tomorrow with DiNucci at quarterback.
No. I give up on the Cowboys. I was being there maybe 10% for you, but 90% thinking that they could win some games. I've given up. I know they're not going to win.
I'm not picking them either. I think the Eagles are going to win. I'll tell you this, though. This Gavin DiNucci is supposed to be a player. He was a late-round pick. They say a lot of Romo there. He's got a good arm. We'll see.
Not the quarterback position, though, Casey. It's not necessarily just that. It's just everything. And it's a lot of defensive players that I just wouldn't want on my team.
Well, after they illegally kill your quarterback last week, no one tried to cause a ruckus.
Explain that one to me.
I mean, you got to be fighting the guys that did that to Andy Dalton.
Explain that one to me. I saw that in a high school ball game last night, and I was thinking to myself, somewhere along the line, you have to have a little fire. There's no fire whatsoever.